You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
John chapter 15, if you would, in your Bibles, John chapter 15. And it's a wonderful privilege to open the Word of God and preach it to you tonight and look into the pages of Scripture and learn from its wonderful truths. It's been a wonderful year in our church, and I really want to praise the Lord for what we've seen transpire in our midst this year. And I hope we'll never take it for granted what we've been able to see just here in the midst of our wonderful church in 2024. We were able to see and review yesterday at bus meeting. If you were here, Brother Flood went through the year of 2024, and he showed us so many things that transpired. And it's really inspiring to see what God has used our church to accomplish in just 1 year's time. And I hope you never take for granted what we're able to see in this place. As in many other churches, it's not this way. And so I pray that we'll continue to do more for the cause of Christ. And that's what we're going to preach about tonight. I'm thankful to have my parents here, and they are truly my heroes. And it's a wonderful honor to have them here in the service tonight. John 15, let's read verses 1 through 11 together. If you'll join me in unison reading this passage, and we'll get the scripture reading done. I'll give you a brief introduction, and then I'll get you a simple truth tonight that I hope will help us as we look forward to the 50th year and each of our lives, making 2025 the very best it can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Ready? Let's look at John chapter 15, verse 1. Let's read it together. Begin. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is a very powerful passage as we read in John 15. We find that it is an important personal conversation between Jesus and his disciples. If you rewind two chapters, Jesus enters the upper room with the disciples and they partake in the Last Supper. It's a very sobering time, and Jesus gives the disciples information that is very troubling to them. He tells Peter that before the cock crows, you'll deny me three times. He says that in the midst of the disciples, there's one that's going to completely betray Jesus. He tells them that his body will be broken for them. In John 14, as we look further on in this discussion, we see that Jesus provides the disciples with hope. He talks to them about heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit, and that though he'll leave, he will return and gather them to himself. It was during this conversation that we come to then John chapter 15, where Jesus is still speaking to these 12 men. As the disciples and Jesus leave that upper room, they head out and head to the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus begins to talk to these men about the subject of fruit. I can imagine as he's passing through the olive trees and the fruit trees of that garden, that sacred place, he begins to impart the truths using this picture for his disciples. He's seeking to prepare these men for the days ahead when he would not be with them in person, and he's explaining clearly the instructions for these men to have a fruitful life. He explains that he's the true vine. He explains that he is the source of spiritual growth and effectiveness. Then he tells the disciples that his father is a husbandman. Now, a husbandman is one that oversees a vineyard. He's one that cultivates the ground. He cares for the trees. He makes sure that those are productive plants, and he is overseeing everything about the vineyard. Jesus explains to the disciples that their lives are much like the branches of these fruit trees. They would either be branches bearing fruit, or they would be branches that would not bear fruit. And he gives them a clear tutorial on how to be a successful branch. It was his desire that these disciples would bring forth much fruit. Now, as we fast forward 2,000 years, I believe Jesus' desire would be the same exact desire for his children. He would desire that we would have lives that would be productive for him, that we would be branches that would be growing, that we would be producing fruit for him. Now, tonight, if we're going to be productive branches, if we're going to produce fruit for our Lord, I don't think it's going to happen by accident. And so tonight, as we look at this passage, I want to draw several applications and a simple truth, and I want to entitle the message, "The Right Root Will Produce Fruit." The right root will produce fruit. Lord, I thank you for our church, and I pray that as we look to this passage, you would give us great clarity of mind and help me to be a blessing to your people. I pray that you'd use this truth as we launch into the new year to be effective Christians for you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we look back in my childhood, I want to give you a little illustration because I grew up in the New England states, and I don't know if many of you have been able to go there, but it's a very beautiful area of the country. And I love the fall season in New England. The foliage changes, the trees are beautiful colors. There are so many things about that area of the country that are just so nice. It's a populated area, but it also is a very rural area. And we have many farms and orchards there. And I remember as a child growing up in the fall season, we would go to the apple orchard. And I enjoyed going to those orchards. We'd drive down those country roads and out into the rural areas. And we'd pull into the parking lot, and generally it wasn't paved and it wasn't nice. It was a grass field, and as you pulled into the grass field and got out of the car, the grass was, you know, still a little bit long around your feet, and we'd begin to trek from the car towards that orchard. And as you walked in, they may have had one of those metal fences, and you walk through the gate and enter into the vineyard. You get those wicker baskets, and you pick up your basket, and you walk into the area, and there's sections by different types of fruit. Maybe there's the blueberry section over here, and the raspberry section over there, and over here is the apple trees, and over there is the trees that produce a different type of fruit. And you walk in, and you pick up your basket, and you walk into those fruit trees. And I remember running through those orchards, and usually the trees that are the closest to the gate are already pretty picked over. And so as a kid, we run into the orchard and we head further in to the trees that had not been picked yet. And I remember we would look through those trees and we'd run up and down those aisles, and we'd be looking not for the trees with great leaves, not for the trees with strong branches, but we were looking for the trees that had lots of apples. And I remember going to those trees and picking apple after apple and pulling them from the branch and putting them in my basket and then carrying them home. And I remember after we would get home, we would enjoy that fruit as we would enjoy baked apple pies and apple cobblers. And you know, the fruit became so enjoyable as we scooped the vanilla ice cream and put it on there, and it began to melt all over the fruit, and the vanilla ice cream just kind of permeated the fruit that we had picked. I enjoyed picking that fruit. I enjoyed eating that fruit even more. And to this day, I enjoy it when we enjoy making those type of desserts and eating the ice cream. Fruit is such a wonderful thing. But the fruit that came from those apple trees, the fruit that came from those orchards, was not an accident. It was a result of time and effort and daily investment from an orchard keeper, an arborist, a husbandman. And it was the result of a healthy tree. Tonight, a fruitful Christian is not an accident either. A life that is productive for Christ is definitely possible in today's day and hour. But a fruitful life is not complicated. It does take time, effort, and determination. John 15, the Bible gives us the formula and the recipe for having a fruitful Christian life. Now let's look at verses 4 and 5 together. Would you read them aloud? We read them a moment ago, but they have such powerful truths. Would you read verses 4 and 5? Ready, begin. Abide in me. Jesus tells us two very simple things about these branches. A branch will not bear fruit unless it's attached to the vine. Now, I think that's pretty rudimentary, and I don't think it's groundbreaking tonight, but a branch that's successful is a branch that is rooted in the vine. It is impossible to produce fruit unless you're attached to the right source. And then secondly, from this particular text, we see a branch cannot even have life if it's not connected to the right source. The branch may have thick leaves and foliage, it may have strong bark, but the life comes from the trunk or the vine. And so tonight, if we're going to bear fruit, if we're going to be successful, we have to be attached to the right source. No root, you'll have no fruit. Throughout this text, Jesus repeatedly uses a particular word to emphasize the truth. The word has jumped out at me, and in this passage, the word is used by Christ 8 times in 7 verses. The word, if you look at verses 4 through 10, is the word abide. You'll see abiding means to stay. It's to continue. It's to persist. It means that it is rooted, it is anchored, it's steadfast, it's in a location, but it also deals with an action. Not only is this branch attached to the root, to the vine, but it is also drawing from the root the source of nutrients that it needs to continue to abide and to produce fruit. Jesus goes on and in the passage explains some of the benefits for abiding in Christ. I want you to see here in verse 4, it says that if we abide in him and he abides in us, we'll receive spiritual usefulness. Without me, the Bible says in verse 5, ye can do nothing. Now, a branch is either attached to the vine or it's useless. If we aren't attached to Christ, we will not be a spiritual effective tool in the hand of our Savior. You may sing in the choir, but if you're not attached to the vine, it's vain. You may stand in front of a Sunday school class week in and week out, but if you're not attached to the vine, it's empty. You may run a bus route. You may pick up boys and girls and bring them to church every week. But if you're not abiding in Christ as you do it, it's all in vain. And so tonight we see that our abiding in Christ is what really determines spiritual usefulness. Number two, we see that our abiding in Christ determines if we're really going to receive eternal rewards. The Bible says that every branch that isn't fruitful is cast aside And the Bible talks to us in Corinthians about how at the judgment seat of Christ, Christians will be judged by their works. Now, we will not be determining our salvation by our works, but we'll be determining our rewards in heaven by those works. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 3:12 that our works could either be wood, hay, and stubble, or they could be gold, silver, and precious stones. So abiding in Christ determines our usefulness. It determines our judgment seat of Christ. I see in verse 7 that if we abide in him and his words abide in you, you can ask what you will and it shall be done. That's what opens the communication lines of prayer for the Christian. Number next, abiding brings glory to God. Verse 8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. Abiding is a result of obedience. Verse number 10, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. And then the Bible says, excuse me, abiding produces a joyful Christian life in verse 11. These are all wonderful traits. These are all wonderful outcomes. These are all things that we would seek and desire in our own lives. But the question is, are we doing it? Are we abiding in the vine? Are we abiding in Christ? Are we living a life that's fruitful for him? And so tonight I want to give you just a simple truth, a simple list of items that we can take assessment of our own personal lives to see if we're truly abiding in him. Number one, abiding is being attached to a person. The fruitful life is not a result of our talents. A fruitful life is not a result of our ministry position. Maybe you're a bus captain, a nursing home leader, a staff member, a Sunday school teacher, an usher. Maybe you're a live stream camera worker. Maybe you're a security worker. And all these traits and ministry positions are wonderful, but they don't really, really show us if we're a fruitful Christian. A fruitful life is not contingent upon your degree. A fruitful life is not contingent upon the bank account you have. It's not based on your salary or your title. It's not based on your personality or your status. Activity and busyness and service does not replace abiding in Christ. So tonight we have to assess, are we attached to the Lord Jesus Christ? A fruitful life is the result of abiding with Christ. In Luke chapter number 10, if you turn there with me, please. Luke chapter 10, we see two ladies, and they both were around Christ. They were both in his presence, but they weren't living the same particular life. They were about two different things here. We see in Luke chapter number 10, verses 38 through 41, the story of Mary and Martha. And the Bible says it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken from her. Mary had chosen to walk and sit at the feet of Jesus, while Martha was cumbered about much serving. And Jesus, he was appreciative of Martha's service, but he said, Mary, you've chosen the good part, and that's to sit at my feet and be close to me. In Bible college, we are taught that a walk with God is so vital. It's a vital thing for every Christian. And as we would come to the beginning of every semester, they would tell us that you have to have a walk with God. And a walk with God takes a time. It takes a scheduled time in our lives where we stop and pause and give God opportunity to speak to our hearts. They told us it takes a place where you go and you meet with the Lord. And a location was so essential. And they said that a plan was so important. Having an idea of what am I doing when I'm walking with God? Am I reading my Bible? Am I praying? What is my prayer life about if I have a prayer journal? And I remember as a junior that really my walk with God became so real. I began to walk in the buses that were parked in the bus lot and just go there after lunch every day and walk back and forth up and down those rows, and I remember it becoming so real. And I remember how Jesus and his word really became real in my life. And I kind of can echo what Paul said in Philippians 3:10, where he said that I may know him. And that should be the desire of every Christian as we look to this new year, as we look to be fruitful Christians. What are we doing in this area of our walk with God? Are we attached to the vine? Are we meeting with the Savior on a daily basis? Are we drawing strength from his word? Are we praying and speaking to him? The Bible tells us that when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, that is should be the testimony of every Christian, that Christ is our life. Number one, abiding is being attached to a person. Number two, abiding is a perpetual action. I like that song in our songbook that says, "Just a closer walk with thee." Yeah. Daily walking close to thee, the songwriter said. And I think about how a branch, when it is removed from the vine, becomes immediately begins to start dying. I have in our yard an orange tree, and that orange tree right now is really thriving. It has such green leaves and wonderful fruit. And just the other day, we ate an orange from that tree, and my kids had two oranges from that tree yesterday. And I went out yesterday afternoon, and I looked at that orange tree, and I picked a branch. And I pulled that branch, and I took my Sawzall, and in just a short time, I cut that branch off the orange tree. You know what? That branch is sitting here tonight. It has a piece of fruit right on the branch. It has green leaves. It has nice, strong bark. And this branch, in all sense of the visual here, it looks pretty good. It looks like it's doing well. But this branch is not connected to the vine. This branch is not drawing any source of nutrients from a tree. And though this branch has had fruit in the past, this branch will never produce a piece of fruit again. Why? Because this branch has been cut from the vine. This branch is no longer alive. It is shriveling up. And if you look closely, these leaves are already beginning to shrivel. They're beginning to die. And the Christian's life, you may have had a fruitful 2024. You might have had a fruitful day today. But if we don't abide in Christ tomorrow, if we don't abide in Christ next year, our lives are going to be just like this branch. They'll look good for a short season, but then they'll begin to wither and fade and flounder. Tonight, a Christian must be perpetually abiding in Christ. A branch removed from the vine immediately begins to die. Maybe you've been in this church for 30 years, 40 years, decades. Maybe you've been a fruitful Christian for many years and you've seen so many souls led to Christ. Maybe you've taught a class and God has used your life in a wonderful way. May I encourage you, don't detach yourself from the vine. Don't call it quits. Don't allow yourself to be removed from the source of strength, but allow yourself to stay plugged in, to stay attached. Choose to abide is a daily decision. Though you may have been abiding for decades, it is essential to abide today. The Bible says, excuse me, that we must choose to abide in Christ. A Bible student once asked his professor, he said, "Why did God furnish manna in the wilderness every single day and require the Israelites to go out and get it every single day? Couldn't he have just given it to them at bigger portions so they didn't have to work as much?" And the teacher came back with the student and he said to him, "I'm going to give you an illustration to help answer your question." And he said to him, there was a king that one time had a young boy, his son, and he promised to give him his yearly allowance every year on a particular day. And that boy loved his father, and he would come to his father throughout the year, and then he would come once a year and receive his allowance. But as the boy grew older, the father began to notice that that boy only came to visit him when it became time for his allowance. He only came to visit his father when it was time to pay out. And the father began to become aware of the fact that his son was only coming when it was time to receive something. And the father said, you know what? Instead of giving my son his allowance every year, I'm going to give my son his allowance every day. And I want him to come every single day to see me. And that way I can have fellowship with that boy. And I want to have fellowship with my son, not just once a year, not just once a month, not just once a week, not three times a week at a church service. But he said, I want to see my son every single day. And you know what? Tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ is just the same. He desires to meet with us on a daily basis, constantly abiding. Jesus is mine. Constantly abiding, rapture divine. He never leaves me lonely. He whispers, oh so kind, I will never leave thee. Jesus is mine. Abiding is being attached to a person. It's a perpetual action. Thirdly, it's a personal choice. Walking with God is a decision that I must make for myself. Though you may have godly parents, they can't abide in Christ for you, teenager. Though you may be in a Bible college and you're a Bible college student, the professors can't walk with God for you. Though you're a church member and you have a wonderful pastor, the best in the world, he can only walk with God for himself. And he comes every week to deliver truths from God's word, but a walk with God is a personal choice. James chapter 4, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. It is a personal choice. Then lastly, I see tonight that abiding is a purging place. Amen. The Bible talks about how a branch that is not bearing fruit is purged. And that is a word that means it is abrupt and violent removal. A person that knows trees, Pastor, you're very good with trees, and you have allowed me to go out and work with you on trees around here, but you always tell us that you cut the tree in a certain spot. You don't just trim it right in the middle of the branch, you cut it right at the base. And you trim those trees in a certain way, you purge those trees so that they can continue to grow bigger and better and stronger. You know, as we abide in Christ, there'll be purging in our lives. There'll be things that he removes. He has to violently take them out of our lives so that they won't hinder us from a bearing fruit for him. Hebrews 12:1 says, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. When we were young, we had a garden and we had those tomato plants. And every so often, my dad would send us out there to pull off the little branch parts. They would kind of V, and then a branch would split up right in the middle. And he'd say, go pull out all those, and we'd remove all the branches that were hurting that tomato plant. Purging. This year, God is going to purge your life. He's going to remove things from your life. He's going to come and he's going to take things from you that are holding you back. They're weights. But he's doing that so that you can produce more fruit. Tonight, our lives should be producing. It should be producing more fruit, much fruit for the cause of Christ. Dr. Weigel was a songwriter, and he wrote the song in our songbook, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus. They know that song. And one day he was preaching in California. He came to this state, and he was preparing for the meeting, but it wasn't until the evening. And so he decided to go out into the rose garden near his hotel, take a walk in the afternoon. And Dr. Weigel went out into the rose garden, and he had a wonderful afternoon just walking through the roses. And he was there. It was a beautiful day. The fragrance of those roses was just so strong. It permeated the air. And as Dr. Weigel returned to the hotel, he prepared for the evening. He got his Bible, and he walked down to the service. And he was greeting people before the service, and he met somebody there in the service. And that man shook his hand and immediately could smell the fragrance of those roses. It had gotten into his clothing. And Dr. Weigel was there, and the man said, ah, you've been at our rose gardens, haven't you? And he said, yes, I have. And where Dr. Weigel had abode that day, where he had abided, was very evident. And he wrote after meeting that man and after having that encounter, he said, it's my prayer that I'd walk so closely to the Lord that the fragrance of his grace will pervade my being. I want them to know by my words, by my actions, by my songs, that I've been with Jesus. Amen. Tonight, do people know that you're abiding in Christ? Amen. Is there fruit to show of it? Are you living attached to the vine, or are you like this branch that is detached and withering. Our lives could be very fruitful in 2025, but we must take stock and take account of what are we doing in this area of abiding in Christ. If we'll assess our own lives, if we'll abide in Christ on a daily basis, if we'll walk with Him, God could use each of our lives to bear fruit for His work in the wonderful year of 2025. Lord, I thank You for our church, and I pray that, Lord, we would truly be fruitful Christians for Thee. God, I pray that our lives would be very evident that we walk with Thee, that, God, we're attached to Thee, that we're drawing our source of strength from Thee. And God, I pray that it would be truly evident that our church is filled with Christians bearing fruit for Thee. We know that our time is short, and Your return is imminent. And so, God, it would be our prayer that we'd live our lives to be fruitful Christians for Thee, in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.